so to hear.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. Tonight will be our family night, our worship service. We got a Bible study going on for adults. That's more like a small group setting. We also have some, one, two, three girls classes that go on, one boys class. And that's the class that I teach. Try and make that as exciting for boys as I possibly can. And so we have a lot of fun in there. And occasionally we even celebrate with some ice cream. Hallelujah. So that's what's going on in Merritt Assembly of God. If you're looking for a church home, we would love to have you come and worship with us. There are plenty of seats available, plenty of ministry opportunities that are available. We serve a great big God. We have a great big responsibility, and that is reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, I told God years ago, God, I'll do whatever you call us to do. The only thing I'm asking you is that you would send forth the laborers to do it. Because I know that I'm all by myself. If Jesus wasn't called to do everything himself and he called the disciples to be with him, then it would be pretty arrogant of me to think that I could do it all by myself. I'm not that arrogant. So today we want to say thank you to the fine folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you have a project that you have been considering and you would like it done between, in the coming weeks, give them a call. They might be able to squeeze you in before the end of the year. They have decades of experience and expertise, and they have all the contacts, all the tools. They know what to do, what not to do. They know when to do it. They know how thick to do it. They just do a phenomenal, phenomenal job. They have for us, every one of the sponsors that we have that we mention here on the radio, Creative AC Solutions, Jits Concrete, and Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, all three of them we have used in 2018. All three of them. And so I want to encourage you to give them a call. These are not just people who've come waving some money and said, hey, could you talk about us on the radio? These are people that we know, we trust, we use, and we can let you know that they are going to do a great job. Jits Concrete, for all your block and concrete work needs, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. Today we're going to go to the Gospel of Mark. We're talking about the will of God, and we're going to be in Mark, the third chapter today, Mark the third chapter, and verse number 31, it says, "Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him, and a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you.' Then he answered them, saying, 'Who is my mother or my brothers?' And he looked around in a circle at those who sat around him, and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother.'" Now, I know for a fact that Jesus was not insulting or neglecting his mother, because the Bible says, "Honor your father and mother, that you might live long in the land and prosper." So I know that he is not dishonoring her. What I do believe is that Jesus is making a declaration to those who are sitting at his feet. By the way, at this point in time, his brothers didn't even really believe in who he was. They but they came to understand that at a later time. Jude was one of those, and that's the person who wrote the book of Jude, considered a half brother, because Joseph would have been Jude's father, where God was the father of the Lord Jesus. And what Jesus was communicating here was that obedience to the will of God, doing the will of God, is a family trait. You know, many families are known by their last name. Many families you might recognize because of a facial feature. You might recognize them because of a height or some other physical characteristic. My mother one day was watching my father and I as we were walking away from a golf cart to go hit our golf balls, which we'd hit on the wrong side of the fairway on a carts only day. And she said, "Y'all walk exactly alike. You might be able to tell a family by the sound of their voice." But when it comes to the family of God, Jesus says that one of the marks of distinction, one of the family traits, is obedience to the will of God. And like we talked about yesterday, that it would be done with joy, that it would be, we would recognize it's the reason we are here. We exist for his pleasure, to do his will, that his kingdom and his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so as he was sitting there, he said, the family of God is known by who as the persons who do the will of God, whether they're male or female, whether they're siblings or whether they're parents. Everybody in the family of God does the will of God, which causes some reflection to be necessary on our part. And so I would ask you to just maybe, you know, close your eyes. Not if you're driving. Don't close your eyes if you're driving. Please don't do that. But whenever you get an opportunity to sit quietly at the feet of Jesus, to ask this one simple question: Father, is there anything that you have asked me to do, something that it is your will for me to do, that I have not done? There's a person, and I don't know where they heard it, but one of the points of reflection is that whenever someone comes to them and they begin to talk and feel like they have reached a place of stagnation in the faith, and they feel kind of stuck, one of the points of assessment that they will ask them to consider is, what was the last thing that God asked you to do? What is the last thing that he expressed? Look, this is the will that I have for you. And then that once they've been able to identify that, then that begs a second question, and that is, did you do it? Are you doing it? Did God tell you to stop doing that? Was it a one-time thing, or was it something that you were supposed to be doing on a continual basis? And so at that point in time in the assessment, then the question has to be, do I need to go back and pick up right where I left off? You know, as we're studying the will of God, we're going through this in a semi-systematic manner and say, you know what, we're going to pick up. Now, on last week's programs, there were some pre-recorded programs that we did because we shut down for that week around Thanksgiving. We shut down another week around Christmas. But we pick right up where we left off. And so I want to ask you, is there something you were supposed to be doing that you aren't doing? Because the family of God is about the will of God. Everybody in the body of Christ, every person has a purpose, has a will. We have a missionary that came through, and there's an adult daughter in that missionary family. She's in her 20s, but she has serious physical limitations, serious communicative issues. And if we're just around that person, we wouldn't think that she would be communicating very well at all. But she has a way of getting through to her father there. He understands what's going on. And he picks up on things because they have a way of communicating beyond words, per se, just by the way of her actions. But when they're on the mission field, he says, please understand that she is not a bystander to ministry as we are serving in a foreign country. She makes ministry possible. There's a will of God for her life, and she fully embraces that. And so I want to encourage you today, sit at the feet of Jesus. Don't be standing outside and saying, well, when God comes to me, then I'll get on board. That's not the way it's going to happen. You see, the scripture says you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. There has to be something that takes place on the inside of you. There are ministries that have been raised up, such as Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge is an Assemblies of God ministry. It's not just for teens. It's for adults. It's for young teen girls. There's homes for teen girls. There's homes for teen boys. There's homes for adult men, and there's homes for adult women where they go and they get delivered from drugs. They get introduced to Jesus, and they learn skills and trades, and they are discipled so that they can become prosperous members of the body of Christ. And many times there will be people who will approach the leadership of these ministries, and they say, look, I've got a family member and they're on drugs, and I need to get them into your program so that they can get off drugs. But what they have come to realize is that until that person is ready to say, you know what, I'm at the end of my rope and I need help, until they're ready, then there's nothing really that Teen Challenge can do other than offer a temporary reprieve. But they're not interested in just temporary. They're looking for disciples. And I will tell you, because of the approach that they've had, it's an international ministry. There are some governments around the world that have horrific drug problems, but they are also hostile to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But their drug problem is worse than their hostility towards the gospel. And so in many countries who don't want Christians operating in their country at all, but they have horrific drug addiction problems, they will come to Teen Challenge and say, we need you to come and we need you to help us with our drug addicts. And they said, you realize that we are a Christ-based ministry? They said, we don't care. Do whatever you've got to do, because we need to break this cycle of destruction in our country, which is caused by drug addiction. And so I tell you all of that to say, people who are waiting for Jesus to come to them, please understand, he comes to seek and to save, but he's looking for people who are looking for him, who say, I am hopelessly lost without him. What is one of the things that men get accused of a great number of times when it comes to navigation? We get accused of, we don't know where we're going and we're unwilling to ask for help. Don't make that mistake. If you are a member of the body of Christ, you want to come and say, God, I want to be just like Jesus. We talked about that yesterday, where I delight to do. Take you One more place today. We're going to be in Acts, the 13th chapter. I actually shared this passage of scripture at my pastor's memorial service. Acts, the 13th chapter, a celebration of life. It's talking about David. And it says in verse number 26, men and brethren, this is Acts 13:26, sons of the family of Abraham and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you good glad tidings that promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, and that he has raised up Jesus. As it is also written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Therefore, he also says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. Verse number 36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, he fell asleep and was buried with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. In verse number 29, it talks about, when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, Jesus, they took him, Jesus, down from the tree, and laid him in a tomb. They did not even realize when they were crucifying Jesus that they were fulfilling prophecy. But God had written in advance everything that was going to be done, whether it was the stripes that he received upon his back, the clothes that he had, casting lots for those clothes, the fact that he would be hung on a tree, that he would be raised again from the dead. All of those things, the betrayal of Judas, that was written in advance. There were tremendous numbers of prophecies. And there can be people who are operating with such hostility to God that they don't even realize that they are fulfilling the very plan and the purpose of God in their rage. You see, God is able to use people no matter where they are. They may not even be believers. And God is able to use them to fulfill scriptures. Cyrus was not exactly known as a godly king, but God used him to restore the temple and to restore Jerusalem. And so with that being said, there are people fulfilling scriptures today, fulfilling prophecies today, fulfilling the will of God today, and they don't even know it. They think that they're doing God a service by lashing out at the body of Christ, and what they don't realize is they are actually setting the stage for a supernatural breakthrough. The Bible says that if they had known what they were doing, if they knew what God had in mind, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. And so please don't take the acts of men as being the end of the sentence, the end of the matter. God can take ignoble, hostile acts of men, transform what they intended for evil, turn around, make something good about it, and promote the kingdom of God. You and I, we just simply need to embrace the will of God. But today, I want to talk to you about how are you going to finish. Not how are you going to start, but how are you finished? It says in verse number 36, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was buried with his fathers. David wasn't going to die until he had fulfilled to his very last breath the purpose that God had for him and his life. So when I was celebrating the promotion into the presence of the king of my beloved pastor, who was 93 years old and was ready to go. He was ready. I got to talking about how he served his own generation. And he served his generation as a Marine. He served his generation as a businessman who he started a business. He served his generation by being a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ and went from hanging around, you know, have very famous people who stopped into the oil fields where he lived and worked at time. And he got to meet several people whose names I could mention and you would recognize them from your history books, people who went on to be extremely, extremely wealthy. But I talked about that this pastor did not just serve his generation, but he served the generation that went before him. You see, he was very instrumental. He led his father to the Lord when his father was in his 90s. And so it wasn't just about serving one generation. It was about serving the generation that was before him. And so this pastor that I knew, he was basically the same age as my grandparents. And one day he knocked on my parents' door. They said they were in the backyard. They were pulling weeds. And this pastor and another man from the church ended up poking their head around back and seeing them pulling weeds, and they invited them to church. And so he not only served his generation, but he served his kids' generation. And because of that, he served my generation. When my son found himself living in on assignment very near where my pastor lived for a number of years in Columbus, Georgia, my pastor had lunch with us and he spoke words of life and encouragement and wisdom into my son and served that generation. And so I was sharing with those who were at that memorial service that this was a man who embraced the will of God and said, God, I am not going to cross the finish line until I have completed every assignment that your will has for me. Even though he wanted to go home, there were still things that needed to be done for the glory of God. You say, well, what can a 93-year-old do? Well, when he was 90, he shared his testimony of how a great church came into existence. When he was in his 60s and in his 70s, he was on a mission assignment and did great things for the kingdom of God while he was there. And I was meeting with the family, and we were talking about things that had happened in the days before, and said, well, his last official ministry assignment was when he was able to dedicate a great-granddaughter. And he said he didn't have a pulpit, he didn't have a church anymore, but he was able to dedicate, and they weren't even in the same town, but because of technology, he was able to bring those parents and that great granddaughter, and he was able to celebrate dedicating that little baby to the Lord. And I will tell you, my pastor, he wanted to see souls saved, and he wanted to use the technology the best that he could to reach a generation, reach his people, because he wanted his God, his Lord and Savior, to continue touching people over and over and over again. I sit here today largely because part of the will of God for that man was to breathe encouragement into my life. And so he continued to linger. His body was decaying, but he said, you know what? I've still got a purpose. I know that God's over this. And so the hospice would come in and they'd say, today could be the day. And it wasn't the day. And finally on the last day that he was alive, the night before he passed away, God spoke something to a family member and said, you need to check on this situation. It was a situation that they thought was all dealt with and all taken care of, but there was only legal ability to deal with that situation as long as he was alive. Well, when they checked on it first thing in the morning, they found out that it wasn't in order the way that it was supposed to be. They were able to make the necessary take the necessary actions. And just a short time after that, hospice said, he's done. He served his generation, the generations before him and the ones before. What kind of legacy will we leave? I want to leave a legacy that said, he embraced the will of God early in life, and he pursued the will of God, and he wasn't giving up until he had fulfilled and served his generation by the will of God. And then Jesus said, your race is over. Well done, good and faithful servant. What does God have for you to do during this day and time? Because I know he has a purpose for me, and I know he has a purpose for you. Let's use the family trait, the family characteristic of embracing the will of God and say, God, we're not just going to do it a little. We will do it much, and we will do it for the glory of God. We will not fail this community or this generation. We will do the will of God. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Looking into yesterday and all the dreams that heaven sent, maybe love will come my way. When I stood upon the land,